All right, welcome into the Patriots podcast. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
This is the divisional round recap slash championship round preview. We don't want to split this up for you guys. We know everyone's interested in getting to the preview right away, but we're gonna start this off by talking about the Patriots divisional round victory over the Houston Texans at Gillette Stadium last weekend. Yep. We both felt very, very confident, as did most of America.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the prettiest game.
Yeah, it was a little rocky road, you know. We were kind of talking about a little bit of it being a trap game, and it kind of was. Defensively, Houston definitely showed up on all sides of the ball, on all aspects of that. They really got to Brady. But the funny thing about it is, I and I'm certainly not the only person that I've talked to that felt this way. It felt like we were losing once we made one of those turnovers. It kind of felt like we were losing for the rest of the game, but we never lost the lead. We were always winning.
Yeah. That's never. We were losing compared to our expectations. That's what it
right.
was.
But I mean, we still covered a ridiculous 17-point spread.
Yeah, won by 18 points. Unbelievable. Which is, how good they are at that.
It's insane that they pulled that off. I mean, a lot of people in Vegas were probably pissed off. But for me, you know, I for when everything's not going correctly, you know, things aren't going right offensively, we're not doing great. To still be able to win by 18 points, to me, is pretty good, especially because a lot of people were like, what happened to the Patriots? They're the worst team ever. That's terrible. And all this shit. And it's just like,
are these Patriots fans that are telling you this?
Both.
Yeah. Well, Patriots fans, we're a spoiled bunch.
Yeah.
And then we see, we see this matchup coming down the pipe, and we're like, all time spread and all this stuff. Brock Osweiler starting for this team. And we expect it to be easy. We expect stress-free. We expect turnover-free football. But then you realize you're playing the number one defense in the NFL. You're playing a playoff game. This is a playoff team. I know. Yeah. Say what you want about them. It's still a playoff team.
Right. They're one of the top teams in the conference.
Don't expect it to look like it did against the Jets in December, where we're up 21-0 just like that, and we get to cruise.
It almost went like that.
I know. We were up 14-3 in the first quarter. Yeah. Boom, boom. We traded a couple punts, and then we get a touchdown after a big pass interference call, and then we keep pushing it down the field. We end up cashing that one in, and then it's pretty quickly followed by Deion Lewis taking it all the way to the house on a kick return.
Mm-hmm.
You called it.
Yep.
Do you remember saying that last week?
Not particularly, but there you go. I called a few things in this game.
You said you were calling a return touchdown. We haven't had one all year. We were due, and bing, bang, boom. You're right.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that I was completely right.
I give
awesome.
You credit, even though you don't remember. Fair enough.
Yep, there you go. That's pretty good. Pretty good call, I must say.
The Pats jump out to a real quick 14-3 lead, and then we get into the second quarter, and the script flips, and we turn the ball over back-to-back possessions. One being the Brady interception off Michael Floyd's hands, the next being a Deion Lewis fumble on a kick return, and all of a sudden Houston puts up 10 points, and it's a one-point game, 14-13. By the way, that interception, that's on Brady, right?
The pick?
Yeah. I mean, he threw it, it was at least like 4 feet in front of Michael Floyd. Ooh, he got his
Michael
hands
Floyd,
on it.
He got both hands on it.
I know, but he got like fingertips on it.
I don't know. I don't. You think that's Brady's fault?
I think maybe it's a product of them not working together for a while, and Brady expected him to be in a different spot on the field. Maybe Michael Floyd pulled up. Maybe he ran a slant at a different angle than Brady expected.
I thought
him to.
Michael Floyd had a pretty good chance on that ball.
I don't know.
It was a tough.
It was far out in front of him.
Well, I mean, he was extended. But it went through both hands. I mean, it literally looked like it hit his palms to me.
You think so?
Kind of. Who are you going to blame? Best quarterback of all time or some Joe Schmo we just fucking picked up off waiver wire that no other team claimed, obviously, for other reasons?
Yeah.
But
I think you take it on a play-by-play basis. Yeah. But it should have been a better pass than that.
Yeah.
And we get an unlucky bounce, which we haven't had many of this season. And it goes right to A.J. Boye, who's that dude's a turnover machine. And then they were able to cash it in. All of a sudden, it's 14-13. We get into a little bit of a stalemate at the end of the first half, and the Pats are able to convert their final drive with a field goal. So it's 17-13 at halftime. What are you smiling about over there? Little smirky face.
No.
Nothing. Yeah, so it's 17-13 at halftime, and we all expected it to be much more lopsided.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was gonna. We all thought it was gonna take off, but due to the circumstances, it wasn't as bad as it could get. Could have been worse.
About in the first half.
Well, I mean, they didn't convert. You know, they only scored one touchdown. They could have scored two. So.
Yeah. Well, we also could have scored a touchdown at the end of the first half, as mm-hmm. we're at the 1 yard line.
Yep.
And we get stoned. What was it? I think Brady pretty scrambled bad. On first down and got whacked yep. by Jadeveon Clowney. And then second down, I think Blunt got stuffed. And third down, we passed it. No. I think we ran it again and went backwards.
Can we give it to James Devlin on one of them? Is that drive?
Yeah, we threw it to Devlin on second down. You're right. Yeah.
What the hell is that?
He almost got in. He was a centimeter away from getting in.
It's whatever happened to giving Blunt the ball on the 1 yard line. What do we always say?
They did it on third down, and it went backwards.
Right. Okay. We always said you give it to him three times, he's getting in. You give it to him twice, he's getting in. Never mind on third fucking down. You know, something, you know, along the lines on that I thought was kind of funny. We, you know, news that we usually mention at the end. Josh McDaniels obviously said that he's pulling out of the 49ers coaching race and he's staying in New England.
Yeah.
Something I think is kind of funny about that is, you know, I didn't really think about it, but somebody else I was talking to, do you think that had anything to do with the play calling in this game?
His possibly taking a head coaching job?
Well, think that would affect more deep into that, plays? Meaning like he wasn't as focused on this particular game because he was doing, you know, he wasn't focused on this 24 hours. He's focused on head coaching job somewhere else, and maybe Bill came up to him and said, all right, you in or you're out? Because that was a shit performance.
I don't know, but they had 2 weeks to prepare, and he took the bye week to do all his possible other job stuff.
But it was a pretty bad performance, offensive play calling, I thought.
Offensive play calling? I guess. I mean, offensively, it didn't look pretty. This is our worst game protecting Brady in my recent memory this season.
Yeah, they were smart. They did a lot of blitzes up the middle with their mm-hmm. best pass rushers. You know, they would just put
Merciless
or Clowney over the center and say, good luck. And we did that, and, you know, people are all like, oh, did they find the, is this the roadmap to get to Brady? Well, it's the roadmap to get to any fucking quarterback geniuses, you know? I mean, fucking pressure up the middle is always the worst thing if you can pull it off for a quarterback. Number two, everyone's like, oh, well, no one is even fathoming the fact that they could fix it because, well, of course, they can't fix something like pressure up the middle. If you watch most of those plays where Brady was getting pressured, there was enough offensive linemen to block him. It was just the offensive linemen were doubling the wrong people. That's really all it came down to. You know, you would normally have Merciless on, you know, the right end, so they'd be shading the guard to the right, and instead Merciless is in the center. So they were still shading protection to the right where, you know, it's some nobody pass rusher where they should have been shading the protection to the center. They should have the right guard on the center helping the center double. You know what I mean?
So that's on Josh McDaniels? That sounds like that's on Brady or on David Andrews.
Just keep going and going and going. Now that's on everybody. But I just think from a standpoint that Josh McDaniels really, I mean, I don't think he called a good offensive game. You know, there's been games where he comes out of the gate and they're ready to go. I mean, every single play seems very well, you know, planned and, you know, diagnosed and all that shit. And this one, it was just like, you know, I don't know if it was a breakdown or whatever, but it seemed like we were just throwing it up there on a lot of plays.
Yeah, and we got lucky on a lot of those.
Real lucky on a lot of those.
I mean, a lot of those hucks just wound up. I mean, you got to credit Brady for some of those passes were like right along the sideline and dropped right in on Edelman, like right in the bucket for him. Yeah. Did a couple times with Chris Hogan too.
Mm-hmm.
So those are tremendous plays, but he was also either under real pressure or it got to that point because nobody was open within like the first 4 or 5 seconds. Yeah, you could definitely say that. Why wasn't the ball coming out of his hands faster? Why weren't we using a short passing game? You got to ask questions about what kind of defense were they going with. Tom Brady said multiple times that they had a really good defensive plan, as you would expect from Romeo Crennel and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you could say about McDaniel's play calling is LeGarrette Blount was really missing.
Yeah.
He didn't have a big role at all in this game, and a lot of that has to do with how well Deion Lewis has played. I mean, Deion Lewis just had one of the best playoff games of all time. He's the first guy ever to have a rushing, receiving, returning touchdown.
Which is incredible, by the way.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a feat. All true. Yeah. I just, from what we've come accustomed to seeing from McDaniel's play calling, has been pretty damn good, I feel like, all season. For him to just, you know, not be able to find these plays and stuff that would work and stuff that would offset what this defense was doing, it was uncharacteristic, I think. I mean, obviously, they still scored 34 fucking points.
Yeah, there was a kick return. And you know, so, three takeaways helps.
Yeah, defense played phenomenal.
Defense played very well. Very, very well. I mean, they gave up, 10 points off of turnovers, which were really, really short fields. Those were 20 and inside.
Six legitimate points.
Yeah, 6 points otherwise. Very, solid game for them. And then, yeah, we were watching the first half, and it's a 13-14 game. Going, geez, what's going to happen? Are we going to keep making mistakes? And then the second half comes, and you're like, oh, that's right. We're playing Brock Osweiler.
He can't make a throw if his life depended on it.
And he throws three interceptions. Boom, boom, boom. Well, all right, this is all good. I mean, one of them was very late, but.
So bad. Like,
he's not
good. Oh, my God. Some of those fucking throws was like, dude, how did anyone pay you $17 million?
Well, he made one throw to Will Fuller in the end zone that went right through his hands. Do you remember that throw?
Yeah,
it was a
yeah.
deep one, and that was the throw where you look at it and you go, "Oh my God, he could be that guy."
Yeah, right.
Because he does that once and gives you a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, I think Rick Smith, the GM for the Texans, should be fired immediately.
Well, Bill O'Brien's already said that they fire their offense coordinator. Bill O'Brien's going to run the offense now.
Yep, mm-hmm. Solely. I saw
that. Obviously, he had a big part to play in the offense.
I mean, this team is really, I'm talking about the Texans here, a legitimate quarterback away from being a very strong and scary team.
They have been for 5 years.
Yeah, it's the same fucking stuff. That's what I mean. Get rid of the goddamn GM. He clearly doesn't know what's going on.
Tom Savage is the answer. I'm telling you. Calling it right now.
Are you being serious or kidding?
No, obviously. I'm a guy that started one game and got knocked out.
Well, they're saying that might be the dream scenario for Romo.
Yeah, that makes the most sense in the world.
Makes a ton of sense. That, makes too much sense.
Yeah, if they can get some... I don't even know, what is the offense even missing? I guess better offensive linemen, because Lamar Miller's a good back.
Another Hopkins, receiver, I guess. A tight end.
Fuller and they have Braxton a good Miller tight end. Should.
If they get a good tight end, that's scary. That's a pretty damn good offense.
We got a free agent one on this team, the Patriots.
Fedorowicz, yeah. They're not getting Marty.
That was another thing that was missing from this. I mean, you got to wonder how banged up Marty is. He went down at one point again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He is banged up.
Yeah, he's just, he's not even factoring into these games right now.
No. It's unfortunate. Well, yeah, not really.
One catch for 4 yards, and I think that was on it was at the very, very beginning of the game.
Well, there was one that they could have called blatant PI on him on, which was terrible. I thought the officiating in this game was pretty hilariously pro-Texans, probably to get a closer game. Obviously, that's a conspiracy theory, but there was some very obvious plays where it was just like really? Like, if this was a close game, I'd be losing my fucking mind right now.
What?
So, one of Marty Bennett, down, he's running to the left sideline. And, they go, oh, what a great defensive pass breakup. And they zoom in on the replay and they show what a pass breakup this defender made. And he is clearly just holding Bennett's left elbow. Just hand there. Obviously, no call. Whatever. Pass interference. Tough to see. There was another one. Deion Lewis got leveled on the playing field. Now, I don't really remember what situation it was in, but I don't think it was on an interception. And he got his clock cleaned by a fucking linebacker. Before Brady threw it, as far as I know. That's what the situation looked like. It was tough to tell, but, I mean, you can't do that. That's a penalty.
Is it? During when the play?
During the play, if the ball's in the throw, that's pass interference, holding, anything.
I thought you said before Brady threw it.
Well, before anything happened. The ball was snapped, and he got leveled.
Okay, so he was downfield? Is that what you're saying?
He's downfield running route. Yes,
okay,
yes,
so that's
yes,
illegal contact. Yes. Okay.
Illegal contact. I'm sorry, I didn't set that right. Another one, I don't know if you remember, I think Deion Lewis took the ball, ran around the left edge, probably 20, 30. It was a big gain. I don't know if I think it was a run, but they called Nate Solder for holding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was Blunt.
Okay, Blunt. Did you see Nate Solder blocking on that play?
What did he do?
It was textbook blocking.
Yeah.
He basically just took his guy and drove him to the left sideline, and they threw the flag on it. And it was like, you know, all right, are you just doing this to try and keep a close game here? Or is this legitimate? Because if this is what the rest of the playoffs is going to be like, we're fucked.
Well, I will say on the other side of that, the big pass interference they called early in the game against Chris Hogan, they called it against the defender who was guarding Chris Hogan. That one was a real light call, and it was like a 35-yard penalty.
Yeah, well.
I didn't think they were that good either. I didn't think they were good.
I mean, besides that Hogan call, I mean, how many calls even did they call on the Patriots?
Well, that's the thing. You wait, call.
For the Patriots.
For the Patriots. Well, you don't remember those because you just take those for granted.
Right.
The ones that's what stick to.
I started trying to make a mental note. I don't think they called one after the first quarter. Once it was 14-3, I don't think they fucking called another one for us. It was like all kinds of stuff. It was even like, you know, you throw a flag and you see it's like, okay, that's holding, you know, all right, offensive holding. And they're like, nope, defensive hands to the face. Oh, another one, Edelman, face mask. See that one?
No.
Big catch. It was like one of those ridiculous things. Brady just threw it up. Edelman came down, and as they're tackling him, they grabbed his face mask. And it was clear as day. They replayed it two or three times. No call.
No call, yeah.
No call. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Was Edelman
getting out of hand?
Was Edelman the MVP of this game? I mean,
oh yeah,
Deion Lewis is right there too.
Well, I mean, you kind of got to give Deion just because he did something no one else has ever done. But Edelman, 8 for 137. Jesus.
And
you know,
like half of them were third downs down the field, places where you don't expect a 5'10" receiver to be making a catch.
He was all over the place. I mean, there was that one big one where Brady basically threw a duck. And Edelman came down. It might have been a little push off.
Oh, he definitely pushed off on one of them.
Yeah, but came down with it. I mean, he was in double coverage. He still got the ball. I mean, that was still pretty impressive. He played great.
He played great. Then on the other side of the ball, I thought Logan Ryan played out of his mind.
Yeah.
He had an interception and a sack.
Yeah, he played great. A lot of people give him a lot of shit this year. And I've thought he's had, for what they've asked him to do, I thought he's done pretty good.
Yeah.
And then this game kind of legitimized it where a bunch of tackles, you said the sack, the interception, good. It was a good pick too. All the Rutgers boys got a pick that night.
Yeah.
McCourty had a great pick. Harmon had one to kind of end the game there.
It's his specialty.
Yep. That was big. I mean, that's big. A lot of momentum going into the next game as well, that the secondary was playing that good. Got a couple sacks on him. He said Logan, Malcolm Brown got one, Nink got one. It was good pressure on him, and they've got a decent offensive line. So, I mean, people are talking about this like it's the worst game. I mean, it wasn't that bad, and especially the thing that gets me mad is people, well, is this so, you know, I heard a lot, Dan Shaughnessy of the Globe, so, you know, is this a wake-up call or a warning shot, you know? And it's like, well, maybe it's a wake-up call, but in terms of this, here's a game. It's a trap playoff game, kind of like the very similar, like we said, to the AFC Championship game of 2010, where a team that's not supposed to win comes to New England and has, you know, gives us a lot more issues than we could have expected because of a good defense coming to town with a defensive coordinator and defensive coaches that know a lot about the Patriots and can kind of pull that shit off. And, you know, they did. And it's like, okay, not everything was going well. This is a game we probably would have lost, you know, in 2010, 2011, which we did. And then this team pulls it out. Not only pulls it out, they fucking cover a 17-point, you know, betting spread. So it just kind of shows me that, all right, when everything isn't going wrong, this team still can win, you know, in a bunch of different ways, which we haven't had with those other teams. So I kind of took it as a, all right, we got one out of the way. We got a bad one out of the way. And Brady rarely plays two bad games in a row. So
you're feeling confident.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to be. I don't know.
I wanted the Steelers. I've wanted the fucking Steelers in the playoffs.
Just because the way you feel about their defense?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's finish up on this game first. The thing that sticks out to me is we just got, I think, to use Shaughnessy's words, a wake-up call for our pass protection.
Yeah.
Because we have been riding real high for about 2.5 months now, being like, Look how good the O-line is. Look how much time Brady has had. He looks comfortable. The ball's coming out quick, yada, yada, yada. And then this game happens, and we all know about the talent they got on that defense, which is missing J.J. Watt. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, right?
Add the most dominant defensive player of the last 10 years to this defense. So yeah. we got a little bit exposed. I mean, outside of some of those kind of desperate-looking hucks down the field that wound up in the arms of our great white receivers, outside of those plays, you're looking at way less than 34 points. You're looking at like 20 because of the drives that were extended on those third downs. They didn't necessarily go for touchdowns, but we got massive yardage in difficult situations. And outside of that, there really wasn't much. I mean, other than Edelman and Hogan, we had six completions. That's it. One of them was that terrific touchdown to James White, 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
Oh, what a thing of beauty. Is anybody ever going to figure out that we do that?
don't know when it's coming.
Yeah, we get between the 15 and 30 yard line on a third down, and James White's going to run the wheel route. He's going to do it. Deion Lewis had 2 catches, one of which went for the touchdown, obviously.
Mm.
But there wasn't that much else on offense. We weren't committed to the running game, even though we were getting, I mean, decent yardage, 3 to 3.5, 4 yards a carry, just about.
Yeah, they weren't committing to it at all.
But it's against a not very good offensive team, our defense continued to look very good. Mm. So at least we can still feel good about the defense. But we haven't really played an offensive unit like we're going to be seeing this week all season.
Yeah.
But this is the best the defense has been playing so far. We're taking the ball away. There's some pressure on the quarterback. I'd like to see more. I feel like Chris Long and Jabal Sheard are just getting lost in the shuffle. Sheard's a little banged up.
We're still sending like 3 guys on most of the plays. I mean, I don't know what it is, but we're very content with sending 3 guys and occasionally a 4th.
It's very safe.
Very safe. I mean, a player like Osweiler might do that to you because you figure, all right, if we drop 8 guys in a coverage, is he going to be able to pick us apart? Well, clearly not. And is he going to figure out where to go with the ball? No. And he's going to throw picks. That's exactly what happened. So Roethlisberger is definitely a different story. Where you can't just kind of let him sit there because he will figure it out. But, I mean,
planning right there.
That's all right. I mean, like, Sheard, how many times did you see? I feel like I saw him rush the passer this one. In this game, he rushed as much as he dropped in a coverage.
He did drop in coverage a lot.
Like,
that's not his strong suit. So, I don't know why they keep doing that.
They must like him doing that. So, and then you have Chris Long, who is coming around the edge, and he's getting double-teamed. Well, you know, Chris Long, we all know, anyone who's been listening knows that I think he's a great player. He's not in his, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago, whenever the hell it was, when he got drafted, he could beat a double team. He's not the type of guy that could beat a double team right now. One-on-one against a tackle, pretty damn good. Double teamed, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
I don't have a lot of bad things to say about the defense. That, I mean,
no, they did pretty good. Really just Brady was off. You know, he wasn't himself. He was 18 for 38, and that was a lot of what the defense did. It's kind of funny that they rushed up the middle, and that, you know, they have the parts to rush up the middle where it makes a difference, where some teams just don't have that. Mm-hmm. You know, that quick guy that can put over the center. But it's kind of interesting that we haven't seen that all year.
I can guarantee we're going to see it again.
Yeah, we'll definitely see it this week.
Yeah, nobody's going to watch that film and not want to try it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, fuck it, let's put Bud Dupree or James Harrison in the middle there.
Yeah. That's what everyone's saying.
I totally expected them to adjust to that type of look by I was expecting them to just keep a running back in the backfield. And if he beats him, then you cut him. Cut the blitzer or just, you know, hopefully your back's good enough to just block him straight up. But we kept going empty afterwards, and I was like, you're inviting them to take advantage of David Andrews' weakness.
Yeah.
But in the end, it didn't play that much of a factor. They only got 2 sacks. Brady's completion percentage was dog shit because he was throwing the ball away a bunch.
Yeah.
In the end, it's a playoff win, and the Patriots are going to their 6th consecutive, record 6th consecutive championship game.
Brady's 11th overall.
11 out of 14 years as a starter. Is that right?
Insane. That is an insane statistic.
15.
Is it 15?
15 years.
Yeah, it's 15. It's 15, yeah. 11 out of 15 years.
That's a good percentage.
It's pretty damn good. That's ridiculous.
So that's why we're spoiled as hell.
Yeah. Well, before you want to jump to this game, you want to go over any of the other games real quick or no?
Oh, yeah. So also on Saturday was one of the NFC games. Oh, is it Atlanta-Seattle? Atlanta just handled them.
Yep.
They handled them.
I was surprised that they could do that. That has completely gone against everything we all knew about Atlanta.
That they could win in the playoffs?
That they could win a big game. Not even in the playoffs, just a big game in general.
Matt Ryan has two playoff victories, both against the Seahawks.
Really?
Yeah, good for him.
So, that wasn't as...
Both been at the Georgia Dome, too.
Yeah.
And everyone knows the Seahawks on the road, different team.
True, especially this year. Definitely this year.
And they were
obviously, we had the Patriots game.
Oh, you didn't want... That's it?
Yeah.
That's it for you? Moving on quickly.
I didn't really see much of that game.
That's right.
Seattle, Atlanta,
Well,
but Atlanta won.
Atlanta moves on. Roger Goodell was at that game. Took in the sights right away, in person.
Mm.
Then there was the Patriots game, as you mentioned, Saturday night. And then on Sunday, the early game was supposed to be Steelers-Chiefs. That gets moved later on. And so the first game of the day is a classic. Packers and Cowboys. Woo! Was that a good game or what?
Great game. Great game.
Unbelievable. Packers jump out to a huge lead.
Well, it looked out like Dallas was done.
Yeah.
You know,
crushing
Dak. Dak couldn't do anything. That was it. He hit the rookie wall, and then all of a sudden, they just fucking, their defense started playing, and then, somebody got hurt. I think one of the Green Bay's tackle got a little banged up.
Brian Bulaga went out of the game. David Bakhtiari got hurt in the first half, but then he came back in. And I know Bulaga got hurt at one point. I don't know if he was out of the game, though.
I think I read something that he was out of the game, and that kind of didn't help their offense, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, anyways, Dallas came back into the game, and basically it was just a fourth quarter game at that point where it was neck and neck, who's going to have the ball last.
And they were just storming. I mean, it was 21-3 in the first half, and then in the third quarter, it was 28-13.
Yeah.
And then it goes all the way up. And Dallas keeps coming back and back and back, and they tie it at 28, and we're like, oh, this is incredible. And then Green Bay goes down, gets a field goal, and then Dallas gets a field goal, and then miraculously, somehow, on like 3rd and 18 or something.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Because there was a sack on second down.
Rodgers just whipped it up.
Yeah, Rodgers scrambles out. That's what's terrifying, is
he can just pull that off.
Make it into a 10-second play. He'll just scramble a little bit.
Saw somewhere that like with a picture that there was a penalty of holding on that play. Well, they're not going to fucking call that.
Not on that play.
We all know that.
Great catch, perfect ball, and then Mason Crosby. Do not sleep on Mason Crosby.
Yeah, they iced him, and he still kicked too.
Yeah, just crushing at like 50 plus, like right around 50. I think both of his field goals were right around there.
Yeah, they
both
were like
of those very end.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. It was
on both sides too. They're both
6-yard field goal.
That's a leg
to take the lead, and then for the game winner was a 51-yarder. Beast. Pretty what a great good game. And then we go out to Kansas City.
I was gonna say about Dallas real quick. Yep. Did you think the decision to spike the ball with 50 seconds left when Dallas got up to the 40-yard line? Do you think that was a mistake?
I was yelling at the screen. Yeah, it was stupid.
I couldn't believe it. Well, I was just sitting there, and I'm, because I think I was looking at reading something while I was looking. I don't know. Something was going on, and I'm looking at it, and I was like, did they just spike the football?
Yeah.
It's like, am I missing something? I was like, I must be missing. I must have missed something or something. There's no way they would just spike the football. They have 50 seconds. Like, what am I looking at? I was very confused because I was like, I can't be. They can't have just done that.
It was really, really dumb. Yeah, it
and
was
they did.
A minute and 7 seconds left.
Is that how much time was left?
Yeah, and they had at least one timeout, if not more. And
they had one timeout. They had one.
And they're at the Green Bay 40.
It's like, what are you doing?
I know. So you're like maybe in field goal range at that point. You need as much yardage as you can get. You can't be sitting there and just give up a down like that. And now you have two downs to get a first down.
What are you worrying about time for in that situation?
Yeah.
You have your timeout.
Let it tick.
Let it tick. You have Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the ball. You want to end with the ball in your possession.
Yeah,
or scoring, you know what I mean?
Those downs are very valuable, and they go and they pick up 7 on first down, and they get an incomplete on third down. And
now it's fourth. You have to kick it. 7
on second and incomplete on third, yeah. And now you got to kick it, and you're looking at a 52-yarder still. No guarantees there.
Yeah. It's like, are you shitting me? If he missed that field goal, that call would have even been more, you know, criticized. Or, yeah, exactly, as more than it is now. But
big mistake. It's just like, big mistake, and Green Bay had 2 timeouts.
Yeah, let them burn a timeout.
Yeah, that was a real mistake.
Do the fake spike Dan Marino Brady trick where they just throw it up.
Or just call a play.
All right,
just call a play. I mean, preferably to
not
the sidelines.
Not like they couldn't get to the line. They were all up to the line very fast. They were all right there, ready to go, and then they spiked. It was like, yeah. Jesus.
With more than a minute. That was no good.
Dumb mistake. Jason Garrett there for you. There he is.
I mean, you could make an argument it cost them their season.
It kind of did.
It so falls did the into the on that third down play, but
it kind of falls into Dallas. You know the way Dallas does everything has lost some of their playoff games. Just stupid mistakes.
Tony Romo in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean he'll never live that down. Poor bastard.
Why was he? Why was he the holder? I still don't get it.
He was the backup quarterback that season.
Who does that? Everybody has punters as the holder.
I think that might have changed because of that.
Because of that. That's where the turnover was.
Awesome. Anyways, on to Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Another really good game. Very exciting. Not too flashy. Almost no touchdowns. You had 2 on Kansas City side. Basically, for me, the game comes down to, once again, Andy Reid blew the game because of clock management.
He thinks so at the very end there?
God, yeah. That was like, I still can't comprehend what he was doing. What was he planning on doing?
Well, they were driving for a touchdown with like 2.5 to go, right?
No, they started, that drive was like an 8-minute drive.
Was it really?
They got the ball with like 10 minutes left.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God,
oh, this...
it was a 13-play, 7-minute drive.
They got the ball with like 10 minutes left.
Yeah, so why had do you have to be in such like, a hurry? You need a
you
touchdown.
Don't. You don't take 7, well, because the thing is, it's exactly what happened. I mean, you have to figure you're down by 8, right? So you need 2 scores to win. You're going to bank on a 2-point conversion to tie the game? That's it? You're going. That's what you're going with?
Yeah. There was still 2:45 after they scored that touchdown.
They hadn't fucking been able to drive. They haven't been able to get yards all goddamn game. So now they're just going to bank on a... It was done. I mean, I don't... If they scored with 5 minutes left, then you give Pittsburgh... They haven't been able to stop Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been driving... They could stop in the red zone, but, I mean, they got, what, 5 field goals?
6.
6 field goals. So that means they got in the red zone pretty damn often. Your defense couldn't do shit before that. So you got to plan this shit. You're a fucking NFL coach. You got to expect things to happen.
Have a little hop in your step.
Yeah, so, I mean, and they had plenty of opportunities to score before that. So they could have scored with 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left. Then that would have given them some time. Let the defense do their thing. You get the ball with a minute or two left. Instead,
you give
now
up another field goal. Now you can go for another touchdown.
Either another touchdown, or if you stop them, all you need is a field goal. It's like, I mean, Pittsburgh got the ball and didn't do anything with it. They just ran the fucking clock out.
But the other side of that is that the Chiefs hadn't done shit on offense since their first drive.
So exactly. So what are you going to do? Bank it all on that one drive?
No, they were able to get a touchdown. And they were yes. in place, and they converted their 2-point conversion. There was just a penalty.
Right.
So they did everything they needed to do. There was just one slip-up.
But it's because they were banking on a 2-point conversion.
But then they also kicked off
when
like
does that
3
work
minutes
out?
To go.
Right, and they had no timeouts. They blew their timeouts on that drive. They had like one, what, they have one timeout, two
one
timeouts?
Left. They had one left.
They blew their timeouts on the drive. They were just walking lackadaisical up to the line, like no care in the fucking world. It was typical Andy Reid ending.
Yeah, that is like, that is classic Andy Reid.
You know, I mean, sure, you could say, like you're saying, okay, well, you know, it could have worked out this way, it could have worked out that way. Well, what ended up happening? They lost by 2 points and fucking Pittsburgh sat on the ball. Sounds like a clock issue to me. You know, like the fucking idiot couldn't just, hey, why don't we score a little faster? Anybody on the team, nobody could fucking figure that one out. And they lost by 2 points. I mean, you lost by a fucking field goal because Pittsburgh, all you need to do is stop them once. Didn't do it. Fucking, I knew it. And I think that was another prediction I made, that Andy Reid was going to lose the game because he fucking, whether I made it on this show or to somebody else, that he was going to lose the game because of clock management. And he fucking did. And it drives me insane. How many times can you make this mistake?
You should be happy about it.
I am happy about it because I wanted the Steelers. But how many times can this poor bastard make the same goddamn mistake over and over again?
Yeah, I guess they should have gone with a little more hustle. Maybe.
Even if he didn't need to, just because of his past, you would think he would be like, I'm never making that mistake again. We're fucking score. If we get the ball in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes left, we're scoring fast. And that's it. Like, okay, all right, let's do it to make sure that at least the clock isn't the issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, they didn't do it. And they lost. So, no, but I am happy. I wanted the Steelers, so that's good. It just pisses me off that he keeps fucking making the same mistake over and over again. It's like, there is a goddamn time limit.
Okay.
This is my little rant for you.
The rest of that game was pretty much marked by Pittsburgh dominating offensively between the 20s and then getting stonewalled in the red zone.
Yeah, they can't score in the red zone.
There was, or just whatever Kansas City was doing in the red zone.
Didn't seem like anything different. It was just like Pittsburgh ran out of space.
They must have been doing something different because Le'Veon Bell was getting yardage at will. And then they get inside the 30, they get into field goal range, and all of a sudden there's no running lanes.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you would think they'd translate that once they figured it out, but I don't know.
I would expect a very similar defensive approach this weekend for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to let them run the ball into the red zone or the red area, which I don't even know how Belichick defines the red area, but I define the red area as
30 on in.
I was thinking 35. I mean, field goal range.
Yeah, I'd say so. That makes sense.
Because who the hell picks the 20? Why the 20?
I know.
That doesn't make any sense. What is the 20 has no significance over the 30?
Is that listed somewhere? Why are you saying the 20? Who said the 20?
That's how people define the red zone. That's really how, like, stats and everything for the you know, your red zone scoring percentage and all that.
I mean, I was always on the impression that, like, field goal range.
Yeah, field goal range has meaning. 20
like a
doesn't.
Like a legitimate field goal range, obviously. Not like, you know, a 55-yard kick or 60-yard kick, but, you know.
So maybe like the 32 and in, like 32 would be a 50-yard field goal. Let's just go with the 30.
30, that's why I said 30, 35, you know, right? That's it.
That's the red area for the rest of the show here on the Patriots podcast. We decree. but I think that the Pats, I mean, we've seen a Ben and but don't break defense all season here, the one that you hate to watch. But I would expect to see a very similar approach this weekend.
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's like you said, letting them run. I mean, I was thinking about this before. What we did to Denver, I think 2 years ago when Peyton Manning was, you know, unstoppable that year, and we let them run.
3 years ago. It was 2013.
3 years ago? Wow.
Yeah. So NoSean Moreno had like 35 carries for two Bills.
Our game plan, you want to run it, we're going to let you run it, and you're not going to fucking throw anything. And that's kind of what we did, and it was a good game plan. We won.
Yeah, it's we're going to have two deep safeties, and we're going to play tight man underneath coverage, and you guys are going to have the advantage in the box. We're going to have six guys, you're going to have six guys, and then you got a running back, and you're going to win. But then when we get into, you know, when we get closer to the end zone, and the field gets compressed, those safeties aren't 30 yards downfield anymore. Now they're still at 10 yards, and they come up and help in the run game, and that shuts that down, and now you're screwed all over.
Right.
I think that's going to be the plan, and we're going to see a lot of field goals again from them.
Yeah, because they know and we know it's going to be pretty difficult for them to beat us with field goals.
Let's hope.
Well,
that's the thing, is that when you play that type of deep safety, you got two deep safeties, and you just take away those quick scoring plays that you'll see. Like, I mean, how many times has Antonio Brown, we saw it against the Dolphins in the playoffs, he'll just take something and go all the way down the field. And if you got two deep safeties who are going to help tackle somebody if he catches it, you know, short yardage and he makes a man miss, then you still got two safeties coming down on that guy. Or if he wants to try to go deep, he's got to face safety help on the deep end of the field. So you're preventing those quick, easy touchdowns.
Absolutely, and there are other receivers really I mean, I don't know what happened. Who the hell do they even have now?
That kid, Eli Rogers, is a good player.
Yeah. And who's Jesse James, the tight end, yeah.
Jesse James is a tight end, yeah. He's pretty good. He's a good, like, fourth option.
He's decent. And then whatever happened to the other kid? Didn't they have somebody else?
Yeah, they got Martavis Bryant, who is unbelievable talent, who got suspended for, I think, pot, but I'm not sure. For the entire season, I feel robbed. Robbed as a football fan. Do you remember that touchdown catch he had against the Bengals in the playoffs last year where he did a fucking somersault in the air and caught the ball through his legs in the, like, at the back corner of the end zone? It was one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen. All right, you're going to have to YouTube this. Everybody listening to this at home, YouTube Martavis Bryant touchdown catch against the Bengals in the playoffs, whatever search terms you need to use. But yeah, he's gone. Marcus Wheaton, who was their number three last year, he's on IR.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. So Sammy Coates, who they were hoping was going to step up, has not been playing offense much at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been Eli Rogers. Kobe Hamilton plays a little bit.
Eli Rogers, the one from Auburn? Who's the one from Auburn?
That's Sammy Coates.
Coates.
Yeah. I called it.
They were given a lot of time at one point this season.
Yeah, they were. And when we were going into playing them, he was like their second leading receiver. This was back in October when we played them.
He's like, I'm eating my words, and now he sucks. So
now he sucks, so I'm right again. check with me in like week 10 of the 2017 season. He's probably going to be great again.
But
outside of Antonio Brown, it's not that much.
It's not as much firepower as everybody says.
I feel Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
That's it.
That's this offense. And,
right.
And Ben can make shit happen with the other guys.
He
can do it.
Ben is pretty damn good. I mean, you got to give him that. But, you know, from what I'm hearing, I feel like everyone's picking the Steelers. And I've been listening to a lot of stuff and watching a lot of, a lot of sports talk and shit like that. And a lot of people are picking the Steelers. It almost feels like they're the favorite, which I love that we're the underdog. I mean, coming to New England, that's great. And it's just funny to me that, you know, how short people's memories are in the NFL. It's like, okay, the Steelers beat the Chiefs in not even a very impressive game, and the Patriots have a bad game against... I mean, if you look at these scores of these games, you'd think, wow, New England's the better fucking team, you know, without knowing anything else. But everyone's like, oh, the Steelers kicked ass, the Patriots sucked, the Steelers are going to kick the Patriots' ass. Well, 4 weeks ago, no one would have been saying that, you know. 2 weeks ago, no one would have been saying that. Now, because of one fucking game, everyone's like, oh, the Steelers are going to win. Fine. Have it your way. That's fine with me.
The Steelers are a questionable holding call away from going to overtime with the Chiefs.
Right.
They could have been looking at overtime, and you don't know what could happen. I mean,
and the Chiefs' offense is fucking terrible. Oh, my God, watching that game with their offense.
Certainly played terrible.
So bad. Like, Alex Smith, dude, really got to figure some shit out because that was a terrible performance. That was bad.
They got a lot of talent. I don't know.
Really bad.
He throws the ball away a lot.
So bad. Like, it was terrible. Like, what's his name? Their crazy rookie, Tariq Hill?
Yeah.
Barely had any. I mean, they must have done a decent job bottling up. But the thing I can't understand... They got Travis Kelce, Jeremy Maclin, and Tariq Hill. Kelce had a decent game, 5 for 77. Didn't show up at all. They weren't even looking at him for about three quarters of that fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
The other two receivers, they're decent. I mean, Hill, as we know, is freak talent, you know, all over the field. Maclin has had an up-and-down season. He's been injured. But who's fucking covering them? Nobody.
William Gay?
William fucking Gay and whoever the fuck else they have over there, they're terrible. They're bad cornerback. Like, not... I would like to see what they have, you know, top... What is it? The pro sports statistics. Pro football focus on what cornerback ratings they have and what overall secondary they have. I've been shitting on their secondary for a long time, and it hasn't gotten any better. So I don't know how these guys couldn't get open. I really don't.
Fair enough. One of the things that bugs me about this Chiefs game plan, they were averaging like 5 yards a carry.
They stopped running the ball.
They just stopped doing it.
It's they
like,
had
come on, man. You got to keep them honest. Obviously, nothing's happening through the air.
They had like 12 legit runs.
Yeah, Spencer 12. Ware was averaging 4.5 per carry, and Tyreek Hill 6 per carry.
They gave
it off. What are you 11 doing?
Between the two of them? 11 carries, and their pass protection wasn't doing too well. I mean, I don't know. Now, the Steelers' pass protection wasn't doing great all season. Then I think on their last six or seven game winning streak, whatever it is, they've had a pretty good pass rush since then. Still, I mean, that guy Dupree has come on. They kind of started him in place of other people, and he's been playing pretty well. Harris, James Harrison's James Harrison. He's solid, but, I mean, he's definitely an older player. The guy's a freak strength-wise, but, you know.
He doesn't have the burst
right.
that he used to.
He can only do so much, absolutely. And then the rest of the, what do they got? They got Timmons and they've got Shazier. That's it.
They got good linebackers.
They got a good four linebacking core, but then they have no secondary and they have no defensive line.
Yeah, they're pretty banged up front. Cameron Hayward, their best defensive lineman's on IR.
He's gone. Yep.
Stephon Tuitt has filled in. He's probably now their best defensive lineman. You mentioned Bud Dupree, former first-round pick, coming off the edge opposite James Harrison. Shazier and Timmons, very athletic in the middle. Good experience for Timmons.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the league almost as long as Mayo was.
Timmons, yeah.
Yeah,
Timmons is a good player.
For a while. And then they don't have that much depth at pass rushers. Like, the way that we cycle pass rushers is rare. You don't see other teams having
Absolutely.
The depth to be able to do that. They got Arthur Motes and Jarvis Jones who can come in and rush on the edge, but they're not nearly the caliber that those starters are. And then on the back end, you got Ross Cockrell and Artie Burns as a starting cornerbacks. Ross Cockrell, why did he stick out during that Chiefs game? Did he get a bad penalty or something?
I don't know.
He might have done something. Remember. Then William Gay is their third cornerback. Fourth cornerback is Justin Gilbert of Browns, the infamous Browns draft pick. Is a top 10 pick by the Browns, and then they shipped him off this offseason after 2 years, and he was just dog shit. Now he
Jesus.
Returns kicks for the Steelers.
Damn.
And then safeties, Sean Davis, who's a rookie at strong safety, he got a big penalty at the very end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He got a 15-yarder that helped extend that drive for the Chiefs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Mike Mitchell next to him, he's just like a headhunter. I don't know if I wouldn't say a headhunter, but he's a big hitter. And then Robert Golden behind them, who comes in a fair amount in nickel packages. It's not a star-studded unit by any stretch.
No. People are talking about...
That bad for the year. They're not that bad. They're 12th in the league in total defense, 10th in points against, 16th in passing defense, 13th in rushing defense. So, and nothing great, but they're above average in everything.
Yeah. I mean...
Not willing to give it to them at all.
Not really. I mean... They're not. They didn't play in a grid. Their division this year was pretty bad.
So was ours.
Ours wasn't that bad.
It was bad.
He had a playoff team.
Okay.
Two playoff teams, and the Bills were in the hunt the whole fucking time.
Okay. Well,
Bills were as good as the goddamn fucking Ravens, pretty much.
All right. I give it to you. Yes. Our division was better this year than theirs, in large part due to the fact that they played the Browns twice.
Right. We played the Jets were pretty bad, too. But I just... They, you know, they don't do anything for me. I mean, everyone's okay. I guess what gets me going, especially about now, is people are talking about this defense like it's great
because of what they did to the Chiefs on the road, yada yada.
Right. Since when is the Chiefs' offense, you know, this incredible juggernaut? I mean, maybe if they still had what's his name at running back,
Jamal Charles.
Charles that's been injured. Maybe they're a pretty good offense, but outside of that, they're pretty they've been mediocre. I mean. The whole thing, they had Tariq Hill and they had Travis Kelce. They've been going off that for a while. And everyone's saying, oh, this vaunted pass rush and all this shit. It's like you just said, I mean, you got Dupree, who's okay or pretty good, I guess. I don't even know. He just started playing.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah, James Harrison, everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows what he's got at this point. I mean, he's nothing. He's not like he used to be. He's still very serviceable and pretty good. But like... Are either of those guys going to be as effective as a Merciless or a Clowney over the middle? No.
No.
Not even close. Like, you can't even compare Clowney to either of those guys.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, is the Texans' defense is better than the Steelers' defense at every level.
Every single, that's what I mean. Maybe linebacking?
No. I would definitely give that to the Texans. Bernardrick McKinney and Brian Cushing versus Shazier and Timmons, I'll take the Texans guys any day.
You're making my point even better because, I mean, that's the only point, the only area you can compare them in. Depending on who you are, how biased you are, you might even be able to give it the edge to the Steelers. Maybe you could argue it. But defensive line, secondary is like a joke comparatively, comparing the two of them.
Yeah, same with Texans' secondary, much, much better.
So, I mean, that's a team that had a great game plan going in, as we said. They have coaches that know us well. Not that the Steelers don't know us that well, but, I mean, you know, coaches on that sideline that we've talked about in the past that know us pretty intimately. And they held us to 34 fucking points. 27 if you don't count the, you know, 27 if you don't count the
kick return.
The kick return. So are the Steelers as good of a defense? No. Are the Steelers going to be able to score 27, 34, 40 points on us? Maybe.
Maybe.
But I'm not going to bank on that. I'd take our, I mean, that sounds pretty good to me. So we have to fucking let up 30-something points for the Steelers to win this game? All right.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, if they score 30-plus, then maybe they deserve to win at that point.
Right, exactly. That's how I kind of feel about it. So, and just, it's stunning to me that all these people are saying that the Steelers, what fucking defense? Like, which defense are we talking about? The defense that let up, what, 28 points to the Ravens to almost lose the season a couple weeks ago? Is that the defense we're talking about? Like, who are we talking about? They had one good game against a mediocre offense. Congratulations. And they almost lost. The defense really didn't pull up too great. They really didn't pull. They almost lost it. Outside of that fucking holding penalty, that's what they had to rely on. So, and I mean, this is a good offense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's arguably the best running back in the league. Same with Antonio Brown at receiver. Big Ben, top five quarterback in the league, top seven, however you want to look at it. But, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's a lot to work off of. But for, you know, what do the Patriots have? Okay, they have the top quarterback. They have a couple top offensive weapons. You know, the only thing I will say that the Steelers have improved on is their offensive line, which used to be a huge liability in years past. And that's kind of what kept them out of being in this position in years past, and they finally have a good one that's, you know, at least protecting Ben decently, because they used to let him get killed.
Yeah.
And now they're doing all right. So that, you know, they got that going for them. But, I mean, we've said it all year that the Patriots' defense is really good at shutting down two options on offense. And that would be Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Are we going to shut them down? No. But if we don't let them beat us, does this offense have anything else that can? And I'm not seeing it.
No, it doesn't. You wouldn't think so. Not at all. Like,
is Jesse James going to go off for two touchdowns and 150 yards? I would tend to doubt it, you know?
We can't stop this offense, as you said. So expect them to move the ball. They're going to be on our end of the field a fair amount, multiple times this game. I mean, we saw the Texans barely move the ball at all. This is going to be a totally different game. So when you got them on our side of the field, it's really going to boil down to who plays better in the red zone. Are we able to get touchdowns? Can they get touchdowns this week? And that's where it's really going to be hard for them, because we're going to bottle up the run. We're going to double team Antonio Brown. And then it's going to be like, all right, is Jesse James going to make a play on like a back shoulder seam route? Is Eli Rogers going to make people miss in the open fields? How are they going to manufacture this? Where on the other side of the field, they're going to pay a ton of attention to Edelman. They're probably going to focus on Marty or Deion Lewis, one of those guys. And then it's like, all right, but Danny Amendola makes plays. Third down Danny.
Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan is a difficult cover. Floyd's a big player. Malcolm Mitchell might be back.
James White.
Yep.
I mean, our secondary options are so much better than theirs. It's just, to me, yeah, that's what it's going off of. I don't fear the Steelers as I have feared other. I mean, if this was the Ravens, let's say their division swapped, right?
Yeah.
The Ravens would scare me a lot more.
Because the balance with their offense and their defense?
No, just because of their history. But, but I mean, even, yeah, their balance with their scary defense. I mean, this is a predominantly good offense with an okay defense, right? Yeah. And I mean, you look at the Patriots right now, we're technically on paper, we're a very good defense with a pretty damn good offense as well. Well, I mean, when you take when you put those matchups together, well, the team with the better defense usually wins in this situation. And that's normally how it goes.
That's one thing I was thinking about is we objectively, and I say objectively because I think everybody should agree with this, the Patriots have the best defense remaining in the playoffs.
By far. I mean, you really can't compare it.
Yeah.
Whether we're biased or not, I mean, statistically, we're the best.
Talent-wise, we're the best, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a reason to feel confident. Everybody absolutely knows the old adage. We don't have to say it again. But it's good to have the best defense in January. And we also have, I mean, our offense is arguably better than our defense.
Yeah, it could
isn't
be
that,
argued.
Isn't that wild?
We're
8th in the league in total defense, 4th in the league in total offense, 1st in points against, 3rd in points for. It's real close. Real close.
Yeah. No other team in the playoffs has that balance right now.
Yeah, nobody does.
I mean, you look at now the Steelers
they're riding Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown to some extent, mostly Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
The Packers are riding Aaron Rodgers and whatever magic he can conjure. And the Falcons are riding Matt Ryan.
And that's it.
We got a balanced defense with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I mean, you look at, like, just look at last year as a perfect example. You had the number one score. You know, I think Denver was the number one overall defense, or no?
They were the number one overall, like, total defense and yardage.
Total defense and yardage, but not in points. So they were the best defense left in the playoffs, and they had their old veteran wily quarterback who couldn't do anything, Peyton Manning. He couldn't do anything in the playoffs. I mean, he made a couple throws, but really couldn't do anything. And they beat the shit out of everybody. No one could touch him.
Because of that defense.
The unbelievable defense found a way. I mean, when you have these magnificent offenses going against these great defenses, more times than not, or almost always, the great defense beats this magnificent offense. They find something to shut them down. I mean, you look at what happened to us in 2007, the Patriots versus the Giants. I wouldn't say that was an incredible defense by the Giants, but it was a really good defense, and they were the one they pulled it off. They beat the great offense. Last year.
This is not to say that this Patriots defense is like the Broncos defense of last year.
Right. I'm not saying that. I'm just it's more likely than not that the defense is going to succeed over the great offense. It's just, it always happens. There's been all these times we have these incredible offenses that come into the playoffs, or these really scary offenses with these great, great talented guys, and something happens. The defense finds something to stick to them. That's it. It happens all the time.
I'm with you.
You know, it's pretty, it's nice to have. And that's, I mean, the Steelers, man, I just don't understand why everybody is just thinks this is the team. It's like, this hasn't been the team all year.
Is this just people who want to have a hot take? They see a chink in the armor of the Patriots after last weekend's game, and they're like, ooh, hot take, I'm going to be the rebel and go against the grain. And
Possibly. I mean, we're only favored, what, 4.5 points?
Something like that. About the same as Atlanta's favored. Almost exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
I'm picking the Packers in that game.
Yeah, I was going to pick the Packers too. That game, well, we can get to that game in a sec, but
mention the fact that the Patriots are playing in Foxborough.
I know. We haven't seen the home field advantage.
Yeah, this game's happening at home.
So not only that, as everyone knows, I'm sure people have heard about it, the Antonio Brown video. So people heard that Mike Tomlin was a little pissed off that we got an extra day and a half, and he's right.
Yeah, he's right.
We got an extra fucking day and a half of planning.
Well,
Bill Belichick, a day. Well, because he said he's
getting they were on the road and we
the next
home.
Day.
Yeah.
Correct. So they had to travel home. So, I mean, giving Bill Belichick an extra day, I mean, just that point alone, even if these teams were even and we weren't, I mean, I think we're a certainly more talented crew. Just giving Belichick a day alone gives you the edge there. Never mind that I think we're slightly better and we're at home and you give him an extra day. I mean, all these things add up. It's, you know, Brady doesn't play two bad games in a row normally. Usually he comes out after a bad game and plays very well the next game. Pat's got a lot going for him in my mind. So,
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. The thing about that, Belichick didn't have totally a day and a half ahead. He didn't know who he was going to be playing.
Right, obviously, right, yeah.
That's an issue.
But they still fix the problems that they had in this game, which might
self-scouting and whatever rest needs to be done.
And translate, you know, that into the next game, especially like that blitz up the middle type look. But yeah, I mean, I don't see the Steelers having enough stuff to stop us.
Enough stuff. That is our professional analysis here.
Yep.
They
not
don't
enough
do
stuff.
Things or stuff like good enough.
Nope.
The Steelers are riding a 9-game winning streak. Patriots have an 8-game winning streak. They both had their last loss in the same week during the regular season. The reason Steelers' streak is longer is because they played in a wild card game. We didn't, obviously. Mm. That's the benefit of the bye. Our team is pretty damn healthy. We had like 6 or 7 guys limited to practice this week. It was Danny Amendola, Malcolm Mitchell, Chris Hogan with a thigh, Martellus Bennett, again, Hightower with a shoulder. But it seems like injuries aren't going to prevent anybody from playing
everybody.
This weekend.
Yeah, you've already heard Marty say he's playing. Hogan, I think, already said he's playing. So none of those guys are missing this shit.
Steelers are pretty healthy, too. The one question mark is Ladarius Green, the tight end who came over this season from the Chargers. He got a concussion last weekend, so it's going to be a waiting game to see if he passes the protocol. He could be a good weapon. I mean, if they wanted to go with the 2 tight end look, Ladarius Green's a very athletic tight end, good size, but he's been caught behind Jesse James, who's had kind of a breakout season this year.
Yeah, he's playing well. He's playing well. So what do you think?
Well, I'm going to say Le'Veon Bell is going to go for $140 on the ground.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I think that the Patriots are going to move the ball pretty well. I hope Martellus Bennett can show up in this game. I hope he's healthy enough to have an impact. I'd expect Blunt to be featured more so than he has been in recent weeks. I think like 15 carries.
Okay.
Seems pretty reasonable. And I think the Pats are going to win 27-20.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to go through all the player statistics. Tom Brady's going to throw four touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
And I think we're going to win 37-20.
37-20. Wow.
Yeah.
That would be an ass whooping.
Yep. You betcha. Heard it here first. An ass whooping.
Indeed. Yeah. This is, as you mentioned, Brady's 11th championship game, conference championship game, which is a record.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget now. I mean, this is still Brady's revenge tour.
I know. I kind of forget.
We're pretty close. He's very close to achieving his fucking goal, which is winning a Super Bowl and rubbing it in everyone's face. I really don't, and it couldn't be more perfect. Steelers, well, it would be more perfect if it was the Ravens or the Colts, but it's just nice that the Steelers, you know, the Steelers, with a lot of history with them, it would just show that if we beat them, we beat the class of the AFC outside of ourselves to get to the Super Bowl. So
yeah, no easy walk.
I can't see Brady having a bad. I mean, it's really going to take them disrupting Brady enough that he has a bad game, and I just can't see him having a bad game.
It would be very impressive for them if they were able to force a similar game to what he played against the Texans.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be really impressive if they were able to do that.
Absolutely.
Don't think it's going
to
happen.
No, I mean, for them to win this game, yeah, they have to. Brady's got to play bad, like we just said, as bad as last week. And they're going to have to score at least 2 touchdowns. I mean, the 6 field goals just ain't going to cut it.
Yeah, they're going to need to score 24-plus to win this game at the lowest end.
Right. And, I mean, we haven't let up, what, 20 points, over 20 points since fucking Seattle, right?
Jeez, we let up 23 to the Ravens.
And that was because of 2 turnovers.
Yeah, that was 2 big turnovers deep in our zone. Yeah, Seattle scored 31.
Yeah, I mean, that it's funny. There was a lot of parallels to this Houston game as that Ravens game. There were 2 big turnovers let up, like you said, real close to our territory where we gave exactly 10 points up.
Yeah.
We still won. I can't see that. I can't see them having the ball security issues. I mean, there have been some ball security issues this year, but I can't see them having those same, you know, the fumble on the kickoff. They had a
bunch
of fumbles.
You don't think so from Deion Lewis? I mean, he's got a fumble.
I mean, it
history.
Could happen, but I mean, if it does happen, I don't think we're going to see the same amount of picks either. I don't think Brady's throwing a pick. He might, maybe one, but I can't see us turning the ball over more than twice, and I can see them turning the ball over more than twice. I mean, we got to get after Big Ben. I want to get him. Get the big fucking piece of shit on the ground a few times. You know what I mean?
I'm starting to like Ben more and more as the years go by.
Oh, I as outside of all of his crap that he pulled a couple years ago, I think he's I like him. I mean, he's fun to watch. He's definitely great to watch.
He's great to watch, and he seems to. I mean, everything he said about Brady was just seemed to be all pats on the back.
Like, yeah,
how much he respects him. He's got his jersey on his wall and everything.
All the right stuff. Yeah. No, he's definitely. I mean, I don't hate the guy by any means. At all. I mean, he's definitely fun to watch. It's just he's playing the Patriots, so in a playoff game, so he can go fuck himself.
And that Antonio Brown.
Besides that, he's great.
The recording in the locker room of Mike Tomlin giving the speech. First of all, what an idiot! That shouldn't be public. What are you doing?
You're a fucking idiot. He's like checking out his hair.
Was he? I didn't see the video.
He's like checking out his hair. He's like telling people to call him. His buddy comes over. He's looking at his hair. It's like, are you guys fucking kidding?
But
that's what you're thinking about. Yeah,
I guess evidently Mike Tomlin called the Patriots assholes. Is anybody surprised? What did you think he was going to say? Oh, these are real nice guys. We're going to play next week. No, he's trying to motivate his team.
Oh, I didn't think anything of it. Yeah,
and everyone's outraged. Oh my God, he said a bad word about a fellow NFL franchise. Shut up.
I know it's like, come on. Yeah, especially when I heard it, it's like in his context, he was just referring to them as people.
Yeah.
You know,
those like, assholes.
Those assholes, you know, it's like, he's like, you don't have to tell them we're coming. They know. Like, shit like that. It's like, okay, this is the fucking NFL. Like, you're lucky he didn't call us cunts.
Yeah.
Something a lot worse. I mean, assholes was pretty tame in my mind.
Pretty tame. Yeah. Totally to be expected.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like those motherfuckers, like, I would have expected that and been completely fine with it. Like, sure, this is the NFC, this is the AFC Championship game with two teams who, I mean, aren't direct rivals but have a pretty good history with each other. So,
yeah, and one record that we are fighting for is the most Super Bowl appearances for a franchise: Patriots and what is it? Patriots, Steelers, Cowboys, and Broncos all have 8 Super Bowl appearances.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
So whoever wins this Pat Steelers game gets that record for the time being.
That's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty sweet.
One of the other things of note is that Roger Goodell has said that somebody announced that he's going to Atlanta for the second straight week.
Good for him.
Good for
him. Smart move.
I totally understand why he went to Atlanta last week, because that could have been the last game at the Georgia Dome. And the same said for this week. This will be the last game at the Georgia Dome.
That's actually a good reason. I was just thinking he wouldn't want to come to New England.
Yeah.
I would if I were him.
I was reading an article.
Like, is that not reasonable?
I was reading an article on ProFootballTalk.com, NBC thing. Mm-hmm. And they said that he hasn't been to New England since the whole Deflategate thing happened, which obviously everyone knows that. But in 2014, in the playoffs, he went to Gillette Stadium 2 weeks in a row. He saw us play the Ravens, and he was there for the Deflategate game. Now, I don't remember hearing that he was there during that Colts game. Otherwise, why wouldn't he have been involved in all the shit that went down? So I'm not totally certain that is accurate, but if that is the case and he went to back-to-back games at Gillette during the 2014 playoffs, then this isn't that weird. That's only 2 years ago. He did the exact same thing.
Yeah. I don't really care. It's like probably better that he. I mean, he's just gonna get booed.
Yeah, he's gonna get.
He's gonna get ridiculed if he comes to New England.
Yeah.
Anyone that sees him, go fuck yourself, Goodell. You know, like everybody.
There's still gonna be signs, even though old
women,
there's still
children
be signs.
Will be yelling at him. Like, you know, it's like nobody wants him here. Don't come here. That's fine with me. And everyone's like, oh, is that a big deal? I think they were interviewing Bruschi, and he was like, yeah, I wouldn't expect him to go to New England. I don't think they'd really receive him very well. Yeah. So,
and we probably never will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other game
got
coming up is the Green Bay Atlanta game.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know what to think. I mean, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a fucking. It's going to just be like back and forth, old running, kind of whip the ball up there type of thing is what I think.
Points, 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 points. I saw the over-under on this game is like 60, and they think it's going to go even higher. I would advise everyone to take the under. 60. They think both teams are getting in the 30s. unbelievable. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you got to take a chill pill on that. I think we're having internet issues.
Sure.
Can barely hear you. Hang on the line. Stay on the line.
Fuck, dude. Are you here?
I'm here.
We're breaking up. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if my computer's having a meltdown or something.
Stay Give me one. On the line.
I'm going to stay on the line.
Yes.
Cancel I'm going to stay on the line.
Cross X out your video thing.
I'm trying to. I'm having a meltdown here. I'm staying, though. Did you pause it?
Yep.
Fucking suck. Come on! Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, it's kind of...
Breaking up? Awful.
No, you're actually pretty good right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Hang on one sec. Let me see if I can get this shit going. Why are you doing this? Just give it a moment.
Okay.
Where'd we pause? What were we saying when we paused?
I was just saying how high scoring this game is predicted to be.
What was the over under?
60.
60.
Yeah.
I think it might go higher.
That's how they get you.
Well, this thing's not locking out. You want to just see if we can do it?
It sounds pretty good right now.
All right, let's try it real quick. We only have a few seconds left anyways.
All right, I'll keep it going. And in 3 seconds, 2, 1. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as that just because playoff games, it's going to be so tight. Everything's going to be contested. And how many playoff games have you seen that are bordering on the 40s? I mean, conference championship games with scores that high.
Not a lot.
But that being said, these are two of the most explosive offenses in the league and certainly the two hottest offenses right now. I mean, the Steelers have had like 200 yards passing each of the last two games on average. So, I mean, it's no contest them versus these two NFC teams in terms of who is playing best right now on the offensive side.
Yeah.
It's going to probably come down to if one of the quarterbacks makes mistakes or if the defense, which defense can force mistakes.
Or which defense can do anything. Yeah. Both defenses suck.
They're not that bad. The Falcons
they're pretty
statistically
bad.
Are very, very bad. The Packers have a couple good players, but man, their secondary is shaky on the outside. Good safeties, but their cornerbacks.
They have no depth there. Falcons did better than I expected them to do against the Seahawks offense, but Seahawks offensive line couldn't do shit. So that's kind of what happened there. But I just don't see I mean, like you said, that's a great point that you don't see too many of these playoff games where there are, you know, people scoring 40 on each other. But for two really high-powered offenses against two really bad defenses, I can see them just driving up the field and scoring on every fucking play. Or every drive, I mean.
Yeah, could definitely happen. I mean, the Packers-Cowboys game from last weekend combined for 65 points. So
right.
Take it as you will.
I mean, you could see one of those situations where it's, you know, it's the AFC or NFC championship game and, you know, things start off a little bit slow and then kind of second quarter comes in or second half comes in and everyone just start throwing bombs and people are coming down with them. I mean, that's what these guys do. They throw bombs.
Yeah.
That's it.
I could definitely see that too.
Throw it up. And if Jordy Nelson's back for the Green Bay Packers, I mean, what the fuck is he going to do, you know?
I think I just changed my pick. I'm going to go with the Falcons. Because they have a running game, and the Packers is mediocre.
I'm sorry, who'd you say? You said you're taking for the Falcons?
I'm going with the Falcons. They definitely have the better running game, and they have a very good passing game to go with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Taking the Falcons. I'd much rather, if we beat Pittsburgh, I'd much rather see us play. I mean, the Falcons don't sound nearly as fearsome as Green Bay, especially, you know, Rodgers. You'd think Matt Ryan would have a better chance of slipping up than Rodgers does in the, you know, Super Bowl.
Yep.
I still think, you know, it's tough to bet against Aaron Rodgers in my mind. It's too tough to bet against him unless he was really outmatched. And the Falcons are pretty much a spinning image in my mind of the fucking Packers minus the running game or plus the running game, however you look at it. So I'm going to take the Packers. I don't know what the fucking score is going to be. It's going to be like, I don't know. 36 to 34 or something real fucking close.
Could be.
Someone's going to blow it is what's coming down to. Like you said. So
Who can cause a mistake? who's going to make the mistake.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a real fun game to watch.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish it was after the Pats game, because then I could focus on it.
Yeah.
Instead of just thinking and waiting around for the Pats game. But then the other side of that coin is, what if the Pats were to lose? And then it's just like, then I can't enjoy it at all. So maybe before is better. But I expect the Pats to win, as you do. And hopefully that would bring us to our, oh my God, 7th Super Bowl in the Brady era, if this were to work out the way we want it to.
Crazy.
That'd be absolutely insane. You see what Belichick said today about
home field advantage?
Home field advantage. He was like, why don't you ask the Cowboys Cowboys and Chiefs how they feel about home field advantage. It's like, oh shit, Bill's in playoff form.
Brady was on him. Brady was like stone faced all fucking press conference today too. They're ready to go. Like they're pissed about Houston. As little as they'd let on, they knew they should have beat the shit out of Houston, and they didn't, and they are bullshit. So no better quarterback pissed off than Tom Brady, so good luck.
Yeah, gonna come out guns blazing on Sunday.
It is.
Thank you guys for listening. You can tweet us at the Pats Podcast. You can email us at thepatriotspodcast@gmail.com. I know we don't have a fancy email or anything, but love to hear from you. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week, regardless of the outcome of this game, to break it all down and look forward to the Super Bowl or the Pro Bowl, depending on what happens with the Pats game.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it. We'll talk to you next week.
Adios.